Are you ready to unlock your full potential and maximize your productivity? Look no further than Productivity Smart, the ultimate audio podcast hosted by renowned productivity expert, Gerald J. Leonard. In every episode, Gerald shares captivating stories, invaluable tips, and cutting-edge strategies that will transform the way you approach productivity. Whether you're looking to reduce stress, overcome overwhelm, or simply get more done in less time, Productivity Smarts has got you covered. But that's not all. You'll also gain inspiration from real-life success stories of individuals who have achieved greatness through productivity. Plus, you'll learn the latest tools, techniques, and habits that will help you achieve a new level of happiness and fulfillment in your personal and professional life. So why wait? Join us every week as we delve into the exciting world of productivity and help you unleash your full potential. Get ready to take your productivity to the next level with Productivity Smarts. As a productivity expert and host of the Productivity Smarts podcast, Gerald J. Leonard has been a proud supporter of Kiva since 2011. Kiva is a non-profit organization that helps entrepreneurs in third world countries access the capital they need to start or grow their businesses. By making a small loan through Kiva, you can help these entrepreneurs achieve their dreams, support their families, and contribute to their local economies. And with a repayment rate of over 96%, your loan can be relent to another entrepreneur once it's repaid, creating a ripple effect of positive change. So if you're looking for a meaningful way to make a difference in the world, consider making a loan through Kiva. With loans as small as $25, anyone can be a microlender and help change lives. Visit kiva.org to learn more and start lending today.
Well, today, everyone, I am speaking with Vic Sonny Stancaron. He is the CEO of Sonny's Piano and the author of a new book called Sonny's Piano Yoga. Yes, you heard me right. Sonny's Piano Yoga. It's the breathwork, relaxation, flow, and enjoyment. It's a mindfulness method for playing the piano instantly. And again, yes, you heard me right. Instantly. I'm really excited about this conversation to talk to Sonny. Sonny, how are you?
I am great. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I was really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent, Sonny. Now, this is going to be an interesting question for you because I always ask my guests a couple of questions. And this one should be a really easy one for you, being a musician and a piano player and a professional and so on. Is what is your favorite style of music?
I'm very eclectic, and I would say I lean towards more jazz improvisation, but I love classic rock. I grew up in a household where my father was playing classical music, and they were all into opera. Anything that's original and unique and improvisational, but I'm very eclectic. I would say I lean towards jazz improvisation now. Yeah, that's what I do. Because I'm an improviser. I never know what's going to come out, you know, and except if I'm playing a gig, you know, you have to play the room a little bit.
Right.
But,
right.
But other than that, like when I was selling my pianos, I would always do a demonstration on the piano. I was buying and selling pre-owned Steinways. So I would do a demonstration and I never knew what was going to come out. I just sat down. I used to let the piano decide what kind of music, because I could start with a classical piece and then roll into a blues piece. And I could start with a jazz piece, roll into a rock piece. In fact, I got fired from a high-end club one time because of that. I was playing in a restaurant across the street from Lincoln Center,
yeah.
And they had piano players two piano players every night. So I was playing there for a while, and then and enjoying myself, and the people enjoyed me too. We got a lot of applause. And then one day I come in, the owner says to me, "Oh, this will be your last night." And I went, "Why is that?" He goes, you never play the song the same twice. I go, "Yeah." He goes, "And you're always changing the rhythm in the middle and the keys in the middle of the song." I'm like, "Yeah." I go, "I thought this was a jazz room and improvisation is what jazz is about." And he goes, "Nah, that's the wrong way of doing it." So, so I figured I got to play one more set. So I figured that's it. I'm not going to play polite. I'm just going to sit down and play whatever comes out. So I just tore it up and I played in and out of this and that, this style, that style, a lot of improvisation and atonal improvisation because I was studying with Connie Crothers off of the Lenny Tristano trip. So I played like that for about 45 minutes. I stopped. I got a standing ovation. The whole room stood up and they just couldn't stop applauding. And these were high end people from that in terms of music and of course, Street from Ed Sullivan show. So as I'm walking out, I go by the guy and again, I say to him, so, you still want me to leave? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I go, what about the standing ovation? He goes, you play the wrong song. You keep changing the tempos. So I was like, okay, I guess this place is not for me either. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's the nature of life. So, yeah, I like to improvise.
Excellent. Well, let me ask you, because you just mentioned, and as we were talking, you talked about your background a little bit, because I want to ask you, like, what do you feel like has helped you to become successful as a musician? Obviously, as I read your book and looked at your profile, you know, you have a unique educational background for a musician. You studied with a lot of different people in different fields, and yet, you know, music kind of kept bringing you back because of your upbringing, with your dad being a professional musician, your mom a professional musician, and just having people around you. What do you feel like has helped you become successful in your career?
I would say actually playing it my way, like I just said, improvising. So I take joy from sitting down and playing. And so that would be one thing. But I guess helping other people, because I love to teach, and I love to help teach a way that the person needs to be taught, rather than saying, okay, you got to do it this way. I would say, what do you want to learn? And I would kind of modify the teaching approach around the person's need. But that, and also buying and selling the pianos, gave me so much joy sitting down and demonstrating them. So I've been doing video on pianos since, I would say, the 80s, when I was making my first TV shows, and then rolled into the making the video tours of my pianos for sale as soon as YouTube came about. So I would say that I was motivated both by an internal thing with my family and just the joy and the bliss of piano playing, but also my business was around the buying and selling of pianos. And I would say that was all motivated me to play. You know, I really, and also, you know, Connie Crothers. Can't go without mentioning Connie. I studied with Connie and, you know, for many, many years. And she was a great person, great friend, great colleague. And she was such a unique, original person. And she learned improvisation from Lenny Tristano. So I studied with her for many, many years. And she was a tremendous inspiration. Even a lot of my philosophy about there is no such thing as a mistake. Only a new opportunity to play the song differently. I mean, a lot of that kind of, don't be perfect. Well, a lot of that stuff came from Connie and Lenny. So I have to thank both of them for that. You know, so I would say they inspired me.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I know for everyone who's listening, you're probably thinking this is a different direction for our conversation, because we talk a lot about productivity, and we are going to, and about mindfulness, but I'm a big proponent as well on in schools, children learning music, but also for adults to learn music. And here's why, and it's not for me to promote my second book, but in my second book, Workplace Jazz, I write about something called whole brain integration. And whole brain integration is where the left brain and the right brain begin to sync and speak to each other more profoundly than in any other state, right? And the only other way you can get that is, there's two ways you can get whole brain integration. And it's through spending a lot of time in meditation and long-term meditation for years. The right and left hemisphere will begin to talk through the corpus callosum of the brain, and you'll begin to get that whole brain integration. But the other way to get it is through being a musician. And I know, you know, some people that are listening right now are not musicians, but I would encourage you and everyone to find something that they could use or do as musicians to play, because it does make a big difference in how we process. And music plays such a big role. And I think that's why after I read your book, and you do kind of talk about and guide people on how to play, but you do it in a way that's very natural. And I'll share this one other example before I ask you this question. I mentioned to you earlier before we started recording that Victor Wooten, who's a five-time Grammy-winning bassist, started playing bass at the age of three. And his brothers, and he's still playing now, him and his brothers tour, the Wooten brothers. And what Victor talks about when he learned to play was that playing music was like learning a language. He didn't start out learning the theory or learning all the complex concepts. He simply learned a couple of notes that his brother showed him on the bass, and he learned how to keep a groove, and he played every day in a bunch of songs with his older brothers. And over time, just like a child learning to speak, they're not going to say the words perfectly, but they can hold conversations with adults. And the adults never criticize them. They just encourage them. But over time, this child learns nouns and verbs and all these complex congregations and how to persuade and influence with their language without ever knowing theory. And it's later on in life, after 6 or 7 years of being alive, that they actually begin to understand the principles of the theory of speaking. And sometimes I think as musicians, we have it backwards, that we try to force people to learn all the notes first, where we really should kind of follow what you're talking about, which is learn to love the instrument. And I think many more people would love to play music and so on. And that's why I really was encouraged by your book, because it really teaches adults how to embrace an instrument and fall in love with playing the instrument and playing music. And later on, you start learning the theory and the concepts. But first, you learn how to play music.
Right.
So any thoughts around that?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for the comparison to Victor. I mean, that's I'm honored. And secondly, as I was evolving my philosophy and my method, I had a music school. One of the things that got me into teaching was a lot of times my friends would hear me play, and but my style of playing very free, and they would say to me, "Sonny, can you show me a few things? I don't want to learn how to read. I don't want to learn spend years. Just show me a few things." So right. I came up with the black note, you know, flow lesson. And also when I had my school, I used to have my teachers teach this way. And also, when I would teach this way, where it was like, just play, just sit down and play. Cause I would study a lot of Eastern philosophy too. And it's very Zen in the sense that I'm not telling them what to do, how to do it. I'm just having them just be in the moment. And that's where the breathe, relax, flow, and enjoy comes in. Because when you do that, you're just in the moment and you're just feeling notes and you're not thinking about what to play. You're just allowing that inner musician to express the music out of you. And coming down to exactly what you said, people used to come up to me and go, "So, Sonny, you just teach people, you just get them playing. And then after a while, you get them into the theory." And I was, "Yeah, more or less." And they said, "That's the Suzuki method, you know?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah." I was like, "The Suzuki method, okay." Oh, I had to go look it up and everything. But the Suzuki method, more or less, also just teaches them to love the instrument and right. just start playing and get into the joy and the bliss. And then after a while, they embrace the music theory. They can't wait to start playing theory because it just broadens their horizons. And some people, they just want to sit down and play and never want to learn a note. That's what's so zen about it, is it's totally up to you. There's no real right or wrong way of playing. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, the Suzuki method is where children learn to play the violin, and they end up learning how to play very complex violin pieces. They learn how to hold the violin, they learn how to bow, and all of those different things before they know how to read one note or understand the theory. But once you've played music for a while, you then get curious because you're like, okay, why does this work the way it works? And
right.
why am I able to do certain things and get these sounds? And why does these two notes create this certain tone or this certain energy in the room? When if I play these two notes, it creates a different energy in the room. Then theory begins to, you want to know the theory and it makes sense, but you've also learned to play and enjoy the instrument. And I think that's really what's really important. You know, what we didn't cover is your background in college, right? Because you didn't go the traditional route of becoming a music major.
No, not at all. Yeah. I don't know. I went to college on a track scholarship because I was a runner, or for the fact that I was taught yoga when I was a kid to cure me of asthma, and that the yoga enhanced my breathing abilities and my ability to run long distance races. So I eventually went to college on a scholarship. So, yeah. So I was just like, you know, just trying to, you know, understand life more or less in college, but although I was playing with other people. Right. But when I did graduate, I decided I wanted to be a music major. So I did move to Boston and I was going to go to Berkeley. Okay. However, life got in the way. And next thing I know, I'm down here back at Delphi teaching yoga classes and meditation. And then I was a pioneer in stress management. And then I was just really, and you mentioned the word energy before. And I think that's something that's very much is going to be a new trend, is to see music and playing as a form of energy. Because I don't think that that's really understood fully. And when you sit down at the piano, I used to say that people would get illuminated after they play for a while. You know, they come in, they're kind of stressed out and kind of contracted. And after they play, they just seem to, they breathe, and they get oxygenated. And it becomes very much, that's where the meditation comes in and the yoga comes in. It becomes, it raises their chi level. And they just seem to have more energy. So music in itself is just a form of enhancing your energy, life energy force, or your life energy experience. So yes. I think that's going to be more seen in the future, where people are going to understand it. They'll probably start doing research. And obviously, they're going to prove the obvious 50 years after the rest of us know about it, you know, because they need to do it in a laboratory.
Again, I go back to my second book, Workplace Jazz, and because I talk a lot about the neuroscience of music in that.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is when I look up the word music, it's a Greek word. It's based on muse and, you know, music, right? And the muse was the art of meditating, the art of contemplation. So wow. With the music, it's the art of the muse, the art of thinking, because that's why when you listen to music, it takes you back. It either takes you to a place where you hear a song, and if it's a love song, you think of a certain person, or you think of a certain time in your life, or you get a scene in your mindset, and it calms you down. That's why at great restaurants, they play certain kinds of music, because they know that it's going to put you in a certain state. If they want to get you out of the restaurant, they play aggressive music because it's a little irritating and gets you going and you don't want to stick around that long. But if they want you to stay and play and spend a lot of money, they're going to play relaxing music. They're going to play Bach and Beethoven and Mozart because they get you to, you know, relax and enjoy it. And now you don't want to leave and you're going to, you know, buy the dessert and buy the other stuff. But basically it's all based on this concept, the art of the muse. But I thought it was really interesting because you didn't have a traditional background as a musician and you had to learn yoga to help you with, you know, asthma and stress and so on. And then because of that, you were able to become a long distance runner and get a running scholarship and then study stress management and energy management and all the different concepts. And so then when you, as a musician, it was like you took this world of meditation and yoga and this world of music and notes and energy and sound, and you brought them and put them together.
Yes. And right. And what a joy it was. There's just so when I sit down at the piano, I just feel like I'm manifesting energy. And also I feel like I'm merging with the energy field of the piano. You know, I spent a lot of time studying energy. And even today, I spent time in the Wilhelm Reich and Orgone Energy world. And also today, I have one of my friends is Leanne Vignette, who created the red light, Rejuvenator, which is the red light therapy machine. So I feel like, all studying in Eastern philosophy, I feel like this is one big energy stream. Well, life is an energy field. We're all bags of energy. And right. when the piano is an energy enhancer and a healer. That's why I talk about the healing and therapeutic benefits of playing the piano, but of playing any instrument, you know, your violin, bass, drums. It all gets your energy moving, loosens up your armor, and gets you into the flow. That's why I talk about, again, the breathe, relax, flow, and enjoy mindfulness method of playing the piano.
And what's really interesting is that you also talk about this concept of flow state. And my experience is that as a musician, learning to practice and learning to get into flow state when I'm playing also translates over into my professional life. That when I'm focused on something to do, let's say from a business perspective, I'm able to harness the flow state that I've learned in music and in meditation and yoga over into my business. And so as I teach someone to do what I call a Pomodoro, which is break your work into small segments of 25 minutes to work on a situation and then take a break and then come back to it and do another 25-minute Pomodoro, you can get yourself into a flow state. How is your concepts around Sonny's yoga, piano yoga, able to help someone who's just getting started in music to be able to learn how to get into a flow state? And especially with that, I think it was the first exercise you talk about in your book, which is like the black key exercise, where you have to play just fluently and listening to the sound for like a few minutes and deep breathing. How can that translate into helping them becoming better as a professional?
The idea of just sitting down and doing the formula, the breathe, relax, flow, and enjoy formula, which is what I talk about. If you start to do that on an instrument, then it spills over into other aspects of your life. And if you can learn to flow on the piano, or I always say, if you learn to flow in one arena, like I learned to flow with the yoga stretching and the running, it spills over into the other areas of your life. So as far as the piano and productivity, in the book, I talk about just being able to sit down. And if you want to use the piano as a problem solver, just sit down and relax, empty your mind, and look at the piano as meditation. Empty your mind, breathe, relax, and just flow. And after doing that for a while, it seems to be that your brain opens up too, because the dopamine starts flowing, and you're able to solve problems easier. So I think that one correlates to the other. But you mentioned, in what book is that in that you mentioned? What do you call that about the breaking your work thing down into 25-minute segments?
The Pomodoro technique. That's something I talk about on my podcast. So other earlier episodes of the podcast, I teach that principle, and I teach it in some of my other books as well. It's called the Pomodoro technique. But you know, this idea that you just talked about, which is getting into flow on the instrument and opening your mind, I can tell you that sometimes some of my best business solutions come away from business in a relaxed state. And many times that may be when I'm playing my bass or I'm playing piano or when I used to play a lot of golf and I would it wasn't swinging the club. It was more of being outside and taking a walk and being away from things and being in that state, that all of these ideas that would come to me for issues or challenges or things that I was trying to solve, the right answers would come at a time where I wasn't trying to effort my way to the right answer. I was allowing it to come to me. And so I can see how, you know, someone learning music and embracing music into their life, and even as they're an older, you know, adult, and especially for children, how that skill, right? That skill, and I'll get on a soapbox for a second, because I think it's a crime that schools tend to remove the arts and music when they have budget cuts, and they're taking away a level of thought process and development that children really need, and even as adults, that we really need when we embrace the arts, right? Because again, just focusing on reading, writing, and arithmetic to get things done and try to effort and figure out that problem many times gets in the way of solving the problem. We need to focus on those things and work on those skills. We also need to have time to allow the mind to go into that deep, relaxative place where it can focus and let go and allow the non-conscious to come up and address things. I don't know if you've, again, if you had any other additional thoughts around that.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that in the Greek Golden Age, the educational system was based on the first, I don't know, 12 or 13, no math, no science, just creativity, the arts. They used to call it the arts.
Yeah.
Because if you get that creative part of your brain going and creative part of your soul and you make that kind of connection, I think that everything else can, the conceptual, intellectual parts come easier. But if you could just get into being an artist and a musician, I think that'll make a big difference. In fact, I feel like where the trend is going with society is that before long, we're all going to be into some form of creativity or art. In fact, right. When I was a pioneer in the fitness world back in the day, I used to teach basic exercise and fitness because at those days, you didn't really work out or you didn't really run or you didn't really do exercise unless you were athletically gifted.
Right.
And today, it's a little bit of the same. You don't play an instrument unless you're musically gifted. But I used to say back then that right now it's, do you work out or do you do a sport? And the future is going to be what sport do you do and what workout do you do? And yeah. I feel it's the same thing with music now and art. I think that right now people are saying, well, do you work out or you do have an art? But in the future, it's going to be, what do you do? What instrument do you play? What form of creativity do you do? My friend Connie used to say, she used to say that creativity is a biological function. That is something that is necessary as human beings, that we have some form of creativity as part of our life.
Right. And I think if you go back in history and you look at some of the greatest thinkers that we've had, let's take Einstein. He was a violinist.
Yeah.
You take Henry Ford, who figured out the assembly line and how to mass produce vehicles and the Model T. Henry Ford was a violinist. You think of Winston Churchill, who over in England, who went through, just kind of basically save the United Kingdom during that World War, just all of the challenges that he had to face. He was also an artist, right? He was like a painter. He was a very prolific painter. But all of these men have something in common is that they leveraged the arts as a way to develop their minds. And they might not have made their living from the arts, but the ability that they gained from the arts enhanced their ability to think and for their businesses or for their political environment that they were in or for, manufacturing of new vehicles. They were able to see things differently because they gave themselves time to meditate and to think and the process. And I think that's why I believe this is so important and it's such an important topic. And it's just as important as learning the Pomodoro technique or learning how to be more productive, because at the essence of it, it is the foundation for how we become more productive without burning ourselves out. And that's the beauty of it, is that once you add something like this into your life, learning how to play the piano as an older adult or a more mature adult, or learning some art or learning how to work out and those kinds of things, you actually become more productive and you reduce your stress and all of the things that go along with that. From your experience, how has teaching the piano, learning the piano help you and your students reduce stress throughout your life and become more productive?
Well, as soon as you sit down at the instrument, you step out of your world of stress and you start, if you focus on what you're feeling and doing at the moment, again, it starts to absorb your brain. You get into the dopamine and you're really juicing up your brain and you're enhancing and elevating your energy level. I would say all those people that you mentioned earlier, I would say that the creativity teaches you to connect to the creative side of your brain.